Hey there, everybody. Phil here for Android Central. Now, I don't want to call this a special edition of the Android Central podcast because it's really not. We're missing some of the usual gang. What we do have is a non-text Brian Klug joining Jerry and myself for a good half hour or so, and wanted to really get to the bottom of this Nexus 4 LTE thing because, frankly, we haven't gotten it 100% correct. I don't think we've gotten it 100% wrong either. It's actually kind of confusing, but not really when you get down to it. And Brian is a guy I've known for a little while now, not terribly long, but it's immediately clear dude knows his stuff. So I've spent time with him at the HTC Frequencies event. He was at the LG Optimus G thing with me in Korea, or I was there with him, if you will. And you learn more listening to Brian in 5 minutes than you will in 5 months of listening to me blab on and on. So we brought Brian on to talk to us about the Nexus 4 and LTE and exactly what's going on, why we can see LTE in some places and not in others, and if we're ever going to see it in the future officially, and just what's going on. So sit back, strap in, and spend the next half an hour with Brian Klug from Anontech as we get to the bottom of this. So, Brian, thank you for joining us. We got Jerry Hildenbrand from the site here with us as well.
Hey, people.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, Jerry, funny story about when I haven't known Brian that long, but the last Frequencies event, the HTC thing we did up in New York, I'm sitting next to this guy I didn't know, and I knew Brian was from Anontech because Anon had been at the earlier one. And Brian, who was it who came in to, they were going to do a teardown, but they didn't do a teardown of either
it
the
was
1X or
the iSupply.
iSupply, that's right.
Yeah.
So this iSupply guy is going through all the different parts of the phone and the internals, and this guy sitting next to me is just getting excited, and he's like, wait a minute, that's not right. So like Brian's kind of going back and forth with this guy, and it's actually really entertaining and really insightful to me because I'm learning so much. And I finally leaned over to Brian. I was like, dude, don't tell me your degree is like in history or something. Don't tell me you're like me and you just know all this stuff, which would be awesome. So, Brian, you're with Anontech. And if you, everybody
That's
knows
right.
Anontech. If you don't know Anontech, I mean, it's probably the best deep dive type stuff. I mean, when everybody's screaming for us to do, you know, frequency testing and battery just tests for days on end, this is the stuff you guys do and write it well in a way that's readable.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, that's what we try to do. I don't know if we always necessarily nail it, but that's definitely the emphasis. So, yeah, sometimes it takes a while. You know, we're not first or anything, but I spend a lot of my time battery life testing everything. But it's a lot of fun. Yeah. Plus, that was awesome at Frequencies. The iSupply guy was definitely knowledgeable. I didn't want to come off as like argumentative, but he had some interesting theories about things, and I was like, no, that's I disagree.
It was a lot of fun. Well, and then 2 days later, or not 2 days later, 2 weeks later, Brian and I end up in Seoul, South Korea at the LG thing.
That was cool.
That was a lot of fun. So, but yeah, I think I tweeted a picture of Brian and Miriam from Engadget, like, nerding out over all the LTE antennas everywhere and looking at, like, a black antenna on the side of a building somewhere.
You know, I never dropped a single bar. Like, it's still an anecdote that I share is that the LTE there was so flawless.
It was insane. Remember, we were going through that tunnel.
Yeah, and it never went away.
A tunnel of LTE?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The only time that it, I tell people, like, anecdotally, the only time that it went away was when we went into, like, the third incursion tunnel under
the DMZ.
It's the only time that it actually went away.
Well,
no joke.
Or when the Korean carrier throttled you.
Oh, that's true. I had almost forgotten about that. Yeah, I got throttled by Koreans, which I think is like some sort of honorary thing. You know,
yeah, you've got to pay for that normally to get.
Yeah,
I'll shut up.
No, and then somehow I like talked the LG people into giving me more data. They were like, "How did you use up all this data?"
It was nuts.
Yeah. And I was like, "I don't know." Well, I was like running speed tests and then like using it as my like tethering, you know, in the car or whatever. And then somehow they were able to give us more data. But I think I burned through that too, but then just didn't say anything because I was like, this is embarrassing.
So LTE is actually the reason I wanted to have you on, Brian. There's been a little bit of a to-do over the Nexus 4 and LTE. And I think everybody knows the story. A couple weeks ago, we did the post saying, no, you're never going to magically get LTE on the Nexus 4. Turns out that's not entirely true. I don't think it's entirely false either. We probably overwrote it a little bit, but can you walk me through exactly what's going on? Now, you ripped open the Nexus 4 kind of as soon as you got your review unit, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, the phone, so I don't know where to start. But the platform of that phone is Qualcomm's Fusion 3, which is APQ8064 quad core crate, and then an MDM 9X15. And in this case, it's specifically 9215.
Hang on, we're talking two different things here, right? So one is the processor and one is the modem?
That's right. So one is the AP or SoC, you know, application processor, and the other one is the cellular, the digital baseband.
All right, hang on, I'm writing that down because I got that right.
Yeah, you got it right. Cool. I mean, you know this. So that combination is how, you know, like sort of you sell a phone platform if you're Qualcomm. Mm-hmm. And that's also what the Optimus G is. So it's not really a surprise, but it is kind of a surprise because at the same time, 9X15 has LTE and it's spec, you know, it's a multi-mode baseband that supports LTE. And there's another SKU that only does DCHSPA+, and that's 8215. So that was interesting to me. Just immediately, I didn't even need to take that apart to find that. I mean, you can even see references to it in the, you know, if you go under About and look at baseband, it says 9615, which is wrong. It's 9215, but it's just, it doesn't matter. It's just whatever they named it.
Right.
But what was curious to me is that, you know, this was done somewhat for pricing reasons because they have a lot, you know, if they're building an Optimus G, they can reuse everything and you know, take advantage of volume and, you know, like economies of scale to make the Nexus 4 really inexpensive.
That was kind of one of my underlying things in my Nexus 4 review. It's like, this is the Optimus G. I mean, we had just been to Korea and seen the Optimus G. We've got the, I still have the Korean version laying around here somewhere, and we've got the US versions now. Like, this is, for not all intents and purposes, but a hell of a lot of them, the same phone.
Yeah, no, it totally is. It's like literally the same phone. So, I mean, it's not too surprising to see that, but that's, some people read into that and they say, oh, it has an LTE chip. Like, I don't know what the chip means, but I mean, it has an LTE baseband, okay? Mm-hmm. And but Google initially started out by saying, I mean, when they pushed the Nexus 4 page live, saying that it only had 21.1, HSDPA 21.1.
Right.
So single carrier WCDMA with 64 QAM. So basically it was like they copy-pasted the Galaxy Nexus spec page.
Right.
Yes.
That's what we assumed. Yeah, that they just copied and pasted.
And I'm sure that's what happened. Like somebody just screwed up. But because on the internal page later, like I'm sure you guys saw, you know, like the review unit page,
right, yeah,
like
there
whatever
was that
is.
Mm-hmm. There was that internal Google.
They were like, there it's like 42.2. And right. The whole time I'm like, well, I asked around and immediately heard back it's 9X15 in there. So immediately they weren't doing themselves any favors by just not taking advantage of the fact that it's a dual carrier device. This is not like no upgrade over Galaxy Nexus. You know, in my eyes, this is the state of the art, you know, because I enjoyed dual carrier devices just fine. And so that whole thing started with, oh, it's not LTE. This is a huge disaster. People drumming up that nonsense. But at the same time, you know, like Google kind of messed up and then it took like 2 days to get that page fixed.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, like other than people who follow me and then maybe a few others, nobody really noticed this. I mean, you guys noticed this, but right, it seemed like that didn't propagate out into the hive mind for whatever reason.
Right, it was into the wind.
Well, yeah. We're paid to notice it. That's why we noticed it.
Right.
But most
right.
People
like us noticed, but it seems like it that just didn't make it out there for whatever reason. And then then that continued and I did my review. It's dual carrier. And then, like, what was it?
Well, back up a second.
Thanksgiving Day?
When you say dual carrier, explain what you mean by that.
So you can basically, you can aggregate together two WCDMA carriers, which are 5 megahertz wide, and get, like, 10 megahertz of channel bandwidth on the downlink. So that's what people talk about when they say DCHSPA+. They mean dual carrier.
Gotcha.
That's right. So basically you just aggregate together two carriers. But it's only on the downlink. On the uplink, it's still just one carrier. And what's interesting about this is that the LTE deployments in the United States, like Verizon, are all 10 megahertz FDD. AT&T is a combination of 10 megahertz, and then some markets are 5. Like LA is only a 5 megahertz FDD market. So what T-Mobile and others have done is basically because it's 10 megahertz, if you aggregate together two WCDMA carriers that are 5 megahertz wide each, you get roughly the same downlink channel bandwidth with DCHSB plus as you do LTE. And that's where you see people sort of saying that, oh, well, this is 4G. You know, you can sort of see how that works out. And on paper, in theory, you can get to the same order, you know, like very close in terms of bandwidth with the right features. None of the DCHSB plus phones have MIMO, which is the, you know, like, you know, you can encode two sets of data and then spatially multiplex. But if it's in theory, you can get to the same bandwidth. So that's where they get to this, like, oh, it's 4G thing at a high level. But that's what DCHSB plus is. It's just carrier aggregation. And that'll come to LTE, by the way. There'll be carrier aggregated LTE very soon. The next set of basebands will support carrier aggregation in intraband and interband and then discontinuous inside the same band and all sorts of cool things. And then, so carrier aggregation is cool. It's like in your DOCSIS 3.0 cable modem too. So it's a very common thing.
So we've got this phone that's technically, I'll just say GSM only. I know that's oversimplified, but it's DCHSPA plus, right? So it's fast GSM data. Technically not supposed to have LTE in it, right? And then you rip it open. A couple of other people ripped it open. We find it's got the stuff on the board to be able to pick up LTE, right?
Right. That's right. So I mean, you need a bunch of different things to really be LTE compatible. Like if you actually want LTE, and it's not just modem. There's a lot of people who see the modem and then they're like, oh, well, everything works with LTE. No, that's not how it works. I mean, I wish it was, but it's just not.
And so I think that's where we started to get ourselves into a little bit of trouble maybe too, because you see that and you say, well, no. I mean, because that's, you're going to need more than that, so there's no way in hell you're ever going to see an LTE signal on this.
Right. And that's correct. I mean, most of the time, it's very surprising to see an OEM implement everything that you need to implement LTE and then not do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's weird about this phone. And now, of course, we know that there are some other things going on. But yeah, so I took it apart, and I mean, so you need all these things to enable LTE. You need the baseband to support LTE. You need the transceiver, you know, to support LTE. So basically, you need to do your digital down conversion, your A to D, which is on the baseband, and then all your filters outside of the transceiver, and then your power amplifiers beyond that. And power amplifiers are something I look for a lot because, again, the channel bandwidths and LTE are very different than, you know, like WCDMA or GSM, because in WCDMA you only have to worry about 5 megahertz. In LTE you have to worry about all the way up to 20 megahertz. So they need to go pretty wide, and that's why you see like different filters, people talking about different transceiver, all this other stuff.
Out of curiosity, what do these amplifiers look like?
Just little squares.
Yeah.
I mean, I call them out in my review. You can go look. They're just like little squares.
Okay.
And they have Avago markings on them.
Gotcha.
You know, but there are other power amplifiers like TriQuint and Skyworks. There are a bunch of big names. So, anyways, like I took it apart immediately because I was curious about, well, is there other hardware in here that also might support LTE? Like, what does the whole RF architecture look like? And I saw WTR-1605L, which is very surprising. That's Qualcomm's newest transceiver, and L stands for LTE. So there's a 1605, and then there's a 1605L. And that's interesting. That's like their state-of-the-art modern part that's only now just started showing up in devices.
I think I saw you say somewhere it's like weeks old.
Yeah, that's correct. It literally is something that, I mean, it's been sampling for a couple months, but it's literally now only showing up in phones. Like, I think Nexus 4 was my first seeing it. I believe the 920 has it as well, but I'm not certain. I haven't taken that one apart.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe the DNA as well. And technically, MDM 9X15 is supposed to ship with that. But you also see some phones shipping with RTR-8600, which is the previous state-of-the-art transceiver. Like the iPhone 5, for example, has that just for volume reasons, I speculate, because 1605 is so new. But anyways, so that it has that, which is curious to me. I'm sure it's just a carryover of the fact that it's an Optimus G design. And then I also saw that it had the power amplifiers for bands, I think it was 1, 4, and 5, which carried the LTE markings. And that's like the 5700 series of this Evago thing. You can do LTE. And so all that stuff is there. All the hardware is there, at least for those three bands. There was another band that, strangely enough, was not. And what's interesting is that you need software support. And this is where I assumed, I guess incorrectly, that this was not included in the 9215 modem software profile. And that was support for LTE on either one of, like any of these three bands that had the power amps for them, to say nothing of the fact, that you need to have all this wired up, right? So then you can flash forward, and basically some people found that if you went and set the network priority type, in phone info to LTE or one of those modes, which basically tells the RIL, hey, ask for LTE, that it worked, but only on band 4. There was a lot of, I think people assumed it was band 4, and then I was kind of curious because I saw these other PAs, and I wanted to test, all the bands that it had UMTS band support for.
Oh, you've added band. I'm looking at your review now. Your LTE post you did. You've added some bands.
Yeah, because some people were asking, does it support this one? Does it support that one? And I saw some comments on a Hacker News piece. In the comments there where they were like, oh, well, we didn't test these ones. And I wanted to be explicit because obviously you can't ever support bands that you don't even have power amplifiers for.
Right.
Like, to me, that's obvious, but it's not, I understand that it's not obvious. So I wanted to be explicit. So I retested, and obviously they don't work because there's no way you can ever talk on band 7 without not having a band 7 power amp.
And your chart was clear as day. I mean, even I understand this, and I'm not good at math and occasionally reading. So band 4, 1700 megahertz, 2100 megahertz, also known here in the U.S. as AWS.
Yeah, AWS one.
Yeah, AWS one. Also known as T-Mobile, right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, in the future. And I think there are a lot of people, I don't know, I'm explicit about AWS and AWS 1 and AWS 4 because I saw some people speculating about Dish. Dish is getting some spectrum of theirs reallocated, and it's colloquially AWS, but it's AWS 4. It's not the same uplink and downlink plan at all. So there's no way this is ever going to work with that. So you can save your Dish Google LTE conspiracy, that's I don't want to get involved there. I will say that it's pretty obvious that this is a T-Mobile phone, right?
Well, sure.
Yeah. Yes. And now it's even more obvious because, T-Mobile's going to deploy LTE on AWS. The phone has LTE on AWS.
Does it have LTE on AWS? I mean, say, and I want to get into the documentation side of things in a second, but say at some point, Google says, yes, it has LTE, turn it on, it works. Like, does it have all the parts to do it correctly on T-Mobile now?
Yeah, okay. It does.
With voice?
I believe so. Yeah, well, the voice is over, it's circuit switched fallback. Okay. So basically you fall back onto WCDMA and then you do your call and then come back up. I haven't tested whether it supports all the SMS over SGS things. Like doing SMS on LTE is a little bit interesting. Haven't tested that. I really wish that I was in Canada because I could, those, I haven't followed it.
First time those words have ever been uttered. Just kidding, folks.
They're milking bags or whatever. I don't know what other things. But I hesitated to write it in my thing, but I said it to someone else. And this is actually kind of totally illegal.
Right. So nowhere in the FCC documentation was LTE ever mentioned, right?
Which is not okay. This is that's just not okay. So somebody's in trouble because you need to either file a class 2 permissive change to make it legal, or basically it'll get locked out. And I suspect what's going to happen is it's just going to get locked out. Like somebody had a really great Thanksgiving break. And
wouldn't me.
It's just going to get locked out.
I've already heard rumors that, the next update we're getting from Google is going to lock it out completely.
Okay, so that's what you mean by locked out. They're just going to turn it off.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. Like, basically, somebody, when they were building the AMSs for this, left a box checked. And oops. And that's why it's there. And it shouldn't be there. And that's why I was really shocked and it caught me off guard. Because it's not okay to just support things that aren't in the FCC disclosure. Right. Like that's just not okay. Like, and I'm not a lawyer, but I know that that's just not okay. So I don't know what the ramifications are for LG, whose name is on that. But
I would imagine it's maybe a fine or something at least.
I don't know. I don't know if there's like a grace period, but that's pretty scary. And you can make the case that it is locked out, sort of, but when I see it, that you just need to go and set the you just need to go and set the network priority preference type correctly. It's basically there. Like it was always there. And it attaches so fast on band 4.
Really?
Like it attaches lightning fast, which is scary. Like I see a lot of other devices and they don't attach nearly as fast. So to me, that's saying it's only looking for AWS LTE, like it's only looking on this one band, because it's not, because otherwise it takes like minutes sometimes.
Jerry and I were talking earlier about kind of equating this to, Jerry, how was it your wife put it?
When we first got married, we lived too close to a truck stop and we used to watch a TV on channel 68 and sometimes we could hear CBs on 68 bleeding over. And I was wondering if this was something similar, but now I'm hearing that it's not.
No, this is like straight up supported. Yep. Yeah. And they even support the full. There were a bunch of other people who were wondering, like I was wondering whether it supports 2x2, so basically you need the both paths, because LTE devices are 2x1. So basically they're, you have two receive chains and a transmit chain. And that's how you get the spatial diversity that gives you these, very high bit rates. And so the question was, because the Nexus 4 does support RX diversity, the question was whether it can also support that 2x1 mode. And the answer is yes. Like, I know some details about the transceiver, and it just does. And I can't test it directly because, you can't really test... You can't test that mode without wiring up directly. Like, you can't do it just in a box. There's no orthogonality without me having unique antennas for each, antenna port. Mm-hmm. So I have to, fake the orthogonality. Like, in reality, when you're walking around, you just hope that you get a reflection. And that's why you don't ever really see those rates unless you're really close to something. Like, it's hard. It's hard to get those rates. It's hard to do MIMO. So I couldn't confirm it directly, but I know it's there. I know it does. So it's like a bona fide real LTE device. It's not like there's any caveats beyond the fact that it's going to get disabled imminently. So, there's that part of it.
Which brings me to my biggest question. I think you've already answered it, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you anyway so we can get it clear. There is no way that Google can send out a magic OTA that just, boom, now this is an LTE phone on Telus or Rogers?
Are Telus and Rogers AWS? I can't remember. I don't know my Canadian band plan. I'm really ashamed.
I don't think they're AWS. I think they're I think they use the same GSM bands as AT&T, but have AWS band 1 for LTE. I'm guessing, I think.
So I think Telus is AWS. Rogers is AWS and then 2600, and then Bell is also, I think it works on all, if it's AWS LTE, it could work. Yeah, it definitely could. It's not going to work on the 2.6 gigahertz band,
but
it's not going to be ideal.
We're not going to see Google circumvent the law and just send out an update to make this happen, is my biggest question.
So, they could make it legal. Yeah, they could make it legal if they do this. If they make the permissions correct and they go back to the FCC. which is totally possible. You know, okay. I think it's unlikely. I wouldn't count on it. I would.
Okay.
I. It's impossible to say. I think the only thing that I could see happening is maybe it works in Canada. I mean, maybe it works on T-Mobile. You know, I haven't seen it approved for Industry Canada, which is like the FCC equivalent, I mm-hmm. believe. Mm-hmm. I'm not as familiar on all the Canadian details, which is something I probably should get better versed
God,
at.
God, I can't believe we had you on. Oh.
I'm not as well versed. I know that they have. I think it's Rogers is 2.6 gigahertz, and maybe Bell as well. It's never going to work on the 2.6 gigahertz band. Right. There's just no way. Without magically,
no AT&T LTE, no Verizon LTE.
So Verizon is band 13, and AT&T is band 17, I believe. And there's just no way it's ever going to work on those. Yeah. Yeah, and that brings me to an interesting point, and that's something that a lot of people ask, and specifically whether it'll ever work on AT&T, AWS, LTE. And the word on the street right now is that AT&T is increasingly moving away from its AWS LTE plans. And by increasingly moving away, I mean like basically it isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And because of the, you know, the divestiture of AWS to T-Mobile in a lot of markets, and because honestly the better path forward is just refarming PCS, you know, 1900 megahertz and cellular 850 spectrum, and then deploying LTE there, and even if it's 5 megahertz wide, so like a single WCDMA carrier, then you just aggregate on these other modems, and you can get fast, you know, your really fast bit rates. So, yeah, the AWS thing, I think, is increasingly falling through for AT&T in the U.S. Now, Verizon, that's another story. But, I mean, of course, the Galaxy Nexus 4 is not going to work on...
Right.
I mean, that's just a mess. Like, Verizon uses a totally different SIM. They use a totally different... I mean, it's CDMA. You have to fall back. There's all this other nonsense. That's just a headache. And that's why I don't ever want to deal with it again. Like, I'm sure that's the reason. It's just because it's a nightmare. But, you know, if you're just trying to make, like, I want a simple phone that's going to work everywhere, it's just not easy.
I think you're right. Yeah. It just came down to a checkbox that somebody probably forgot.
Oh, I know that somebody totally was building the software and they just left, you know, they just left it. Oops. And now it's whatever next radio they push out, it's going to be just gone. Like, and, you know, maybe people will be very adamant about it and just not update. You know, like you can.
Oh,
I know
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that radio file has already been pulled and saved, I'm sure.
Yep. There'll be people who build from source without updating the radio. So all they right, can
well,
have.
Here's another question then. Can the carrier come back at you as a user and say you're using this unlicensed? Well, hell, they could have done that all this other time, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I don't think they will. Yeah. I don't think they really care. I mean, yeah. Unless there's something really wrong with it and it's creating interference, and in which case I doubt it would work to begin with, but it should be fine.
If planes start falling from the sky, we'll know who to blame.
Yeah, and they'll identify if there's interference. I don't think there's. I mean, everything is there.
Right.
It's the implementation seems very sound, at least on, you know, on what I was able to test. The other, and it could work on the other two bands too. Like the stuff is there for it. But it's just not turned on. And I think, yeah, this is just all a byproduct of the fact that, yeah, it's an Optimus G design. Somebody left the box checked. You know, I'm very surprised that it works. But, I mean, if you're in Canada, you know, good for you. But that doesn't do anything. It's not going to do anything for you if you're on AT&T. It doesn't do anything for me, right?
No, not for me.
I don't think it does anything for it. I mean, there are AWS LTE networks in the U.S., like Cricket. And Metro PCS, mm-hmm. but again, those are CDMA. It's just not going to work. You know, it's not going to be ideal. Like I wouldn't recommend trying.
And that last one is something to pay attention to, right? Because that's how T-Mobile is going to be doing a lot of its LTE, correct?
So yeah, Metro PCS and T-Mobile will combine their spectrum, and I think there's still a lot up in the air about whether they'll be able to roam initially mm-hmm. on each other's. And I don't want to speculate. These are just implementational details sure. that. Somebody else will worry about. But, I mean, yeah, that's a huge part of it. I think the Metro PCS and T-Mobile thing is huge. I really hope that it goes through mm-hmm. and that they're a strong number three. And I don't think Sprint is that number three anymore. We'll see with SoftBank, but that's still a ways off. And, you know, I've kind of, you know, at least in my the markets that I care about, Sprint is really, really slow. Like in my personal market, there's only 0 to 3 EVDO carriers,
right?
Which is not a lot. So, I mean, So I hope. Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole other. That's a whole other can of worms. I'm excited about it. Anybody that talks about, hey, we're going to be able to do 20 megahertz LTE on AWS,
that's pretty awesome.
That gets me excited. Yeah, because nobody can do that right now. You know, maybe Verizon. I don't know if they have the holdings for it. They've just sat on their stuff forever. We'll see what they do. And I mean, Verizon is starting to get really loaded. I think you travel more than I, Phil. Have you seen? Like in the airports, I'm always speed testing in airports, but I know in like Atlanta, Hartsfield Jackson or whatever, that airport on Verizon, every time that I go through there, it is like single digit megabits.
Yeah, it's, I tell you, we got spoiled in Korea, didn't we?
I know, right?
Oh man.
It never ever stopped.
Yeah,
like,
especially the Atlanta airport's pretty tough. I love it when I get to LaGuardia because it doesn't even know where I am for a minute when I'm on Verizon.
Yeah.
Like, right. You've landed, you're on the ground, you got a signal, we have no idea what time it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's the same with AT&T too. Like, I've even had it just sit there and not be able to get on WCDMA, not be able to get on LTE. It just kind of stares at you. You know, it just won't attach. Like, the network is just so full of signaling, it doesn't even know what to do. So, yeah, and I mean, that's a whole other story. I think in the U.S. we need to demand a lot more, and the excuse that it's a big country just doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work because in the urban centers, the population density is high enough, and that's where it should be good. We're not talking about, I couldn't care less about, you know, like covering areas of New Mexico that there's nothing.
Right.
Right. Or covering like huge parts of Arizona that there's nothing, or huge parts of the U.S. that there's nothing.
Hey.
Yeah, but you know,
we're like, not nothing.
If there's people there, that's one thing. But everybody that's talking about like here's the average population density, and then here's the average population density of Korea or Japan,
right?
Right, that's totally wrong. Like, I'm sorry, that's just totally not acceptable. You know, I don't know. That's me at least. I don't know.
Well, Brian, thank you for coming on with us and explaining some of this LTE stuff. I know I've got it a little more straight now. Jerry, how about you?
I'm more confused than ever, but that's right. I think it's the age.
I tell you, I learned more talking with Brian in 5 minutes than I do in, I think, 5 weeks talking to myself. Yep.
Anytime. Yeah, seriously. I love talking about it with you guys.
Brian, you're at anandtech.com, A-N-A-N-D-T-E-C-H.com. You're Nerd Talker on Twitter.
On Twitter.
I even saw you on Google+.
Really? Yeah, yes. I know. I go on there every now and then. I want to use it more. But it's hard to use for me. I don't know. There's not a lot of people I know personally that are on there.
Well, you met Jerry today. Now you know one more.
That's good. Yeah, that's true.
We'll probably regret that, but yes, you did.
Well, thanks again for coming on and explaining all this to us and helping to clear it up. And we'll have to get you back on again sometime.
Yeah, sounds good. Nice meeting you, Jerry. Thanks for having me on, Phil.
Nice meeting you, too.
All right. Okay.